Hey, this is Mark Johnson, voice of the Colorado Buffaloes, and you're listening to The Hull Show with my buddy Brady Hull on 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into the show. We got the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes joining us, Mark Johnson, getting set for pretty big one tomorrow night. The Colorado Buffs keep rolling. They took care of Oregon State and Oregon before that, looking to see if they can keep that momentum going on the road against USC. But first, Mark, we're hearing, and we hear it from Deion Sanders on the national championship broadcast, by the way, I mean, promoting the heck out of Colorado, my goodness, that TCU will not be their first game, that we may have a week zero or a 0 week game for the Buffaloes next season.
Well, I come to you right now from the Galen Center here in Los Angeles. We just landed, team's practicing right now, and we just landed here maybe an hour ago when I got off, turned my phone on. I saw Pete Thamel just tweeted out that is not going to happen, that the waiver has been denied. So Pete Thamel's about as credible a guy as you can find in college football, so I guess we'll take his word for it. But that's the last I heard here within the last hour.
Okay, so any reasons as far as what comes to your brain as far as why not? Is just too late in the game for that, I suppose? Because we always talk about teams have their schedules done like 30 years from now.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's it. In order to get a week zero game, there has to be a waiver, and I don't know why it was denied. Thamel's report did not say, and I've not heard at this point, being out here in L.A. with basketball, so I'm not sure exactly what the deal was. But, yeah, you have to apply for that date. There are always, as you well know, a handful of games on that week zero game, so the week before when everyone else gets underway. And for whatever reason, it apparently was denied. So I think that would have been kind of cool. However, with that being said, the first thing I thought about when I heard that was, holy cow, can you imagine what the last weekend in August is going to be like in Tempe, Arizona? I mean, that'd be a 115-degree game.
Yeah.
And I've done some games down there in September, man. That's never pleasant.
Yeah, it would be ridiculous at that point. It does make – but then I was hearing, too, that it might be, like, at a neutral location and all that. And I'm like, man, is College Game Day going to be out there for this then? Is this going to be, like, the biggest zero-week game in the history of the world? But, well, Primetime was excited about talking about it at least. But, Mark, I mean, you look at the marketing – that went in, you couldn't buy on Monday. He's out there in his primetime gear, in his CU Buffs gear, promoting Colorado. Yep. And, I mean, how much would it have cost the Buffaloes to even stick a tiny sticker anywhere in that stadium or on the TV? There you go. You have Deion Sanders promoting the Buffs in such a big way.
Well, there's no doubt. And then the next morning, you know, he was on the CBS morning show as well at about 6:30 in the morning Mountain Time. And so, yeah, he got himself a little bit of network television time, and that's, you know, that's what he brings, Brady, what you and I have been talking about. I mean, there are football coaches, and then there's Deion Sanders, and he is a celebrity and an icon that coaches. He's not just a football coach, and so that's part of the, you know, I guess the overall item that you get with Deion Sanders is you get all of that kind of exposure because he is a hype machine. And he just kind of generates that stuff. That's kind of his natural deal. And as we found out, his natural odor, by the way, is winning, as he told the CBS this morning. So that happened as well. But yeah, certainly a great deal of exposure for a program that desperately needs it.
Mark, it's funny. I was watching the national championship game, and I'm just seeing Georgia dismantle TCU. It was just awful. But I'm going back to it at the end of the day. At the start of the game, I'm thinking, wow, TCU's in the national championship. It's absolutely crazy they're here. Who knows? Maybe they'll pull off something crazy. Obviously didn't. But I did go back to that first game of the season for the Buffs under Carl Durrell. The Buffs were right there with TCU at half, if you remember. I mean, obviously you remember, but it was kind of a clunky way of calling a game by Carl Durrell, and then ultimately TCU started to run away with it. But I just go back to it, and I think, man, isn't that crazy? The first half of the season, the Buffs were hanging in there with TCU.
Yeah, is this, so then what does that mean? Then would that Colorado team get beat like a 247-7 then? What do you think that?
I think Georgia probably could have put up 250 or something like that.
You know,
but isn't that bizarre to think about how teams change so much from week one to the end of the season?
Oh, there's no doubt about it. And I'll say this as well. Georgia is hands down the best team in America. Make no mistake about it. If they played 10 times, Georgia wins probably 9.5 of them. But I think that was a bad performance by TCU.
Yeah.
I mean, interesting. Yeah, I don't know if you saw, there was a bunch of people on social media, and we know that only the smartest stuff is put on social media.
True, true.
And, you know, just screaming about, you know, the committee blowing this and letting it. And I'm thinking to myself, dude, have you ever watched the Super Bowl? About 8 times out of 10, that game is horrible. So what are you talking about? You know, they did a poor job of putting this together. That could have happened to anybody on that given day, the way that, you know, the Georgia Bulldogs are playing. Because I thought Georgia was phenomenal in that game. I thought TCU played very, very poorly. So it was not a great game in any way, shape, or form. Georgia deserved the win, but I'm not sure it was a true representation of what TCU is capable of.
Yeah, and, you know, from a fan's perspective, would I have rather watched Georgia and Alabama on that night? Yes, but the way it's in place, it is what it is. And you're right, Mark, that's the way this was designed. I feel like it worked out the way it should have worked out. The same thing with the Super Bowl. If, let's just say, Seattle stuns the world and beats San Francisco, they go run the table, and it's Seattle and Buffalo. I would much rather see Buffalo and San Francisco or Philadelphia. But they have it in place. This is the way they do it. You're not always going to get the best matchups. And it's going to be like that, too, when the playoffs expand.
Well, there's no doubt about that. And think about this for a second. You know, people always talk about the SEC being hands down the best conference. I've debated that a little bit. I think at the very top, they are the best conference. The top, you know, three or four teams, I think, are spectacular. Depending on the year. But you could see a scenario when you've got a really strong top half of the SEC, you could see a scenario where maybe you get three of the four teams or SEC teams in the Final Four. Maybe you get four or four. I mean, you know, maybe that potentially happens. So, you know, be careful what you wish for in these set of circumstances because, you know, those kind of things could potentially happen the way they're setting this up. I don't have a problem with that. But then there are going to be people complaining about that as well. I guarantee you that'll be a complaint when that does potentially happen.
Mark Johnson, the voice of the Buffs, joining us as he's getting set for in LA, set for a big one against the Buffs and USC. First off, Mark, Tristan Da Silva named the Pac-12 Player of the Week. I mean, he was special in those wins against Oregon State and Oregon, and he's just been one of those guys, man. I mean, he had 17 points, 5 boards, and he's a special player out there, and it seems like he's getting better as the season progresses.
Yeah, without question. I mean, you know, that the win over Oregon, Colorado played without K.J. Simpson, and it was really a phenomenal performance in that game. He had 30 points in that contest. Did Tristan against the Oregon Ducks, then came back. K.J. was back the next game. We're still kind of coming back from that stomach flu that he had had, and he still didn't do a whole lot, but Tristan was outstanding in that ball game as well. And so, you know, they had back-to-back Player of the Week honors in the Pac-12. K.J. got it last week. Tristan's got it this week. K.J.'s standing right in front of me right now. They're doing putting some shots up right now here at the Gallen Center, and he looks fine for tomorrow night. But, you know, this team has won 7 of 8 games now. Now, the one loss is a clunker, obviously, at Cal. But right now, Colorado, coming off those two ball games, is hands down playing its best basketball of the season.
And Mark, is it every time they make a shot, the sirens go off there? Is that what's going on? It's pretty cool.
You know, I think what they're doing, I just walked out in the tunnel out here before you called, and I think they're working on something electronic. I mean, like the fire alarms or something. And so it's going off nonstop here in these things. But, yeah, there is no fire. It's just something that's working out.
Yeah, well, I'm ready for this one. And these were two, you know, you and I talked last week after the Cal loss. You really needed to bounce back. You darn sure needed to get the win. It was just nice to be able to win so easily against Oregon and Oregon State. So those were two big bounce back games that, again, you know, you lose to Cal, and then you take care of Oregon and Oregon State the way you did. We're still on this roller coaster with Colorado.
Well, in some respects, yes. And keep in mind, what you're talking about is two historic wins. I mean, Colorado gave up 41 and 42 points in those two games. That, by the way, in conference back-to-back games, is the two lowest total defensive games the Buffaloes have put together since 1948-49. Think about that for a second.
Wow.
But those just weren't good defensive performances. Those were spectacular defensive performances to do that. I mean, holding both teams down the lower 30 percentile range, out-rebounding both teams heavily, you know, holding them to that low point total. I mean, those were two phenomenal defensive. That's why I say Colorado's playing its best basketball right now. I think that Cal game might have served as a wake-up. Now we'll find out what happens here on Thursday night and Saturday night, okay? You've got two very good basketball teams. I think this USC team Their record's about the same as the Buffs. I was looking over their numbers in the plane. Their numbers are very, very similar. And so I think that's going to be a really fascinating game tomorrow night here in Los Angeles. And then, of course, on Saturday, you got to play a top 10 team in UCLA over in Westwood at the Pauley Pavilion.
And it's funny about that, too, about the Oregon State thing. I've seen Oregon score 80 points several times this year, and they had to do it combined with Oregon State, 83 points between the two of them against the Buffs. So that's outrageous. That's absolutely huge. But this USC game, as you said, this is a big one for those middle teams right now. This kind of helps change a little bit of a trajectory. Plus, looking forward a couple of days after this one, you got UCLA. So you got to keep focus on this one, grab this dub, and then that UCLA one becomes a monster game for the Buffs.
Yeah, that'll be a nationally televised game. Fox is going to do that one, and someone's going to be watching. And so it'll be awful nice to pick up a win on Thursday night against USC, where Colorado, by the way, has played exceptionally well. Let's see, USC got the game in Boulder last year. They only played one time. And prior to that, I think the Buffs have beaten the Trojans seven consecutive times. So they've kind of had USC's number. If they can get this one and set up a monster game. And what getting a win like that then kind of puts Colorado back in the upper echelon of the Pac-12. You're in the top half then, and you can really start talking about making some noise. And, of course, you got a phenomenal test against the team that I think Arizona is very good. Don't get me wrong. I think they're outstanding. But I think UCLA is the best team in the Pac-12 right now. So that would be a phenomenal challenge on Saturday night.
And you know what? I wouldn't be surprised if the Buffs pull it off the way, the Buffs maybe rise to the occasion against these great teams, and that would be something else, wouldn't it?
Well, they've done that so far this season. Well, you think about some of the games they've won,
yeah.
Right? You got Tennessee, you've got Texas A&M, you've got, even though CSU is having a fine season, but having a rivalry game. I mean, they blow out CSU. Oregon comes in. You need that one, or they blow them out by 27. And so they do have a tendency of doing that kind of thing. By the way, you know who's also in the building right now?
No.
The Dallas Mavericks are in the building right now. In fact, when the practices are over, we're going to get a chance to spend a little time with McKinley Wright and Spencer Dinwiddie, who are playing for the Dallas Mavericks right now. So it'll be kind of neat.
Yeah, some special Buffaloes right there for sure. And tell Luca, to slow down a little bit. We're rooting for Joker to get that MVP. So when you talk to him, just throw that out there.
Not sure we're going to have any chance to talk to Luca. But I tell you what, isn't it interesting? Those two, foreign-born athletes. Are probably the two best players in the world right now. And both of them, in my view, make basketball fun to watch.
No question. And the NBA needs players like that because they both have a unique skill set that you just don't see with anybody else. And I think it's those two and everybody else as far as the race goes in the MVP voting right now. So it should be interesting. Mark, my man, what time do you get rocking and rolling tomorrow night?
Tomorrow night's a 7 o'clock Mountain Time game. We'll hit the air at 6. Do I have that right? I think that's right off the top of my head. I think it's a 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip-off tomorrow night.
I'm looking. You are exactly right, Mark. Not that I need to fact-check you, but you're 100% right. We'll be listening tomorrow night, and I look forward to catching up with you next week.
All right. By the way, happy fifth birthday to Gavin, by the way.
I appreciate it. I threw up the horse picture there, so I figured you would appreciate that.
There you go. No doubt about it. That's awesome. Well, enjoy that tonight.
All right, man. Mark, appreciate you, dude. Mark Johnson, the voice of the Colorado Buffaloes. How about that? The Mavs are in the building. Dinwiddie, Wright, and probably Luca is there, too. You think Mark can go talk to Luca a little bit? I wonder if Luca is, approachable.
Yes.
Maybe.
He seems like a goofy, fun guy.
I think. I think Joker is a goofy and fun guy, but I don't know. Sometimes I see press conferences now where Joker's just kind of
he's
business.
Good. He's working.
He said the other day, he's like, I wear a suit to work to the game because it's a business meeting.
Such nice suits for Jokic.
Oh, the best.
I know you have a lot of money, but how can you just never run out of nice suits?
Like, how many suits? Does he just have, 30 suits? I always look at these guys with suits. You never see him wear the same suit twice, do you?
Nope.
I mean, not that I'm, memorizing.
Well, you wouldn't know it because they might, do a different combination.
That's
true. Different shoes.
How many suits do you think, actual suits, not combinations of whatever, but actual suits Joker has in his closet here in Denver?
Say at least 25.
Probably.
And he doesn't even pick them out. His wife does.
Do they have to wear suits to...
No.
They can wear whatever they want, right?
Well, I mean, Russell Westbrook's been doing that for years.
Because they don't have to look somewhat professional.
No.
That's interesting.
But it's always that, they're going to be taking pictures of me when I show up. Let me look good.
Would you wear a suit?
Oh, yeah. I love dressing up.
Dude, I'd be in jeans and a t-shirt. Like a like Game some of nights Thrones I'll wear t-shirt, a, suit, a backwards
other nights,
hat.
No, I'm just going to wear sweatpants and flip-flops.
Yeah, I'd be in sweatpants. You're going to a basketball game. You know, be comfortable.
Like those Nike slides with no socks, just to give them that.
Yeah.
Air out the feet.
That's a good poll question, everybody. If you were a professional athlete, would you wear a suit to the arena? Would you wear relaxed clothes, like workout type clothes, or just like, you know, jeans and a polo or something?
Or are you gonna wear a jersey from a couple years ago?
Who do you think the Hooligans are? I'm gonna say a pair of jeans and a t-shirt
and a trucker hat.
Well, County Swami says, is the purge happening behind Mark? I just pictured Mark on a horse running down. Like, did you ever see the Cowboy Way when the cowboys are in the city in New York or whatever, and like the cops are everywhere, they're riding their horses down the street? I just assume Mark is always on a horse, by the way. I think he calls the games sitting on a horse. You just don't see it courtside because they like edit it out, because it would be unprofessional to have a horse in your gym. But I feel like he's just on a horse there. 12:50 the time. We'll be right back. We were going to have Cody Tucker on the program talking some Cowboys with us, but he does have to cancel today. So we will see if we can catch up with him tomorrow. So we always look forward to our conversation with Cody. All right, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy. We'll be right back.
KFKA is your no-go home of the Denver Broncos. Hear games and news around the team on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.